sharing rays of the sun. BBC Natural World.
Not much bigger than an orange, the pygmy marmoset is the smallest monkey in the world. They live in the largest tropical forest on our planet, the Amazon rainforest. Their lives are full of huge obstacles, but they don't let size be a barrier to success. With chisel-like teeth, they've learned to tap into the trees, feeding on their energy-rich sap. These micro-monkeys are the miners of the Amazon.
Small indents in a tree trunk,
leaving their mark across the forest.
A pygmy marmoset leaps sideways off a trunk. A sunrise over an empty sea.
Too often in life, we overlook the little guys. Overshadowed by bigger beasts, their lives simply pass us by. But if we stop and get down to their level, a remarkable world is revealed. Take this gecko, the size of just a few raindrops, but somehow able to weather the greatest of storms. Or this bird, the weight of a 20 pence piece, who flies thousands of miles for a meal. What about this rather plain little fish? Well, he's a passionate artist whose work deserves its own gallery.
A bat.
So while they may be small, these creatures and others like them have survival secrets that are amongst the biggest and most surprising on planet Earth. And now, at last, they're taking centre stage. It's time to meet nature's miniature miracles.
Nature's Miniature Miracles, narrated by Hugh Dennis. Earth viewed from space.
The world is a big place, home to some huge animals, and exposed to wild weather.
A violent storm lights up the night.
So what does that mean if you're one of the planet's small folk? How are you supposed to make a living in this big bad world? Well, you need to adapt. You must develop extraordinary skills. And you've got to achieve some pretty mind-boggling feats, like coming back from the dead. And let's face it, there's no greater miracle than that.
A ball of dry vegetation unfurling in a muddy desert pool.
But whether big or small, all living creatures have the same basic needs. Food, finding a mate, and a safe place to live.
Palm fronds rustling in a tropical breeze.
On an island in the Caribbean, a tiny crab's biggest issue is home security.
A tiny crab carrying a seashell on its back.
Hermit crabs have soft bodies that make them vulnerable to attack from predators and the elements. A naked crab would quickly cook in the intense tropical sun. So these miniature miracles have come up with an incredible solution. They use abandoned seashells as mobile homes. 24/7 protection. But there's a problem. Right now, this chap is no bigger than a dice. But he'll continue to grow throughout his life. So, if he wants to stay safe, he must always be on the lookout for a new, larger shell to move into. But finding a new home isn't as easy as you might think. On this paradise island, there's a surprising shortage of shells.
A shell's washed up on shore by the tide.
Unless this is the opportunity the small crab's been waiting for.
The crab crawls over it.
Unfortunately, it's probably a bit too much to take on right now. And is not the only prospective buyer in the area.
Another crab comes to inspect it.
Hermit crabs can be anything from a few millimetres long to the size of a coconut. So there's a chance this new home might suit someone else. With housing stock in such short supply, the local crabs have learned to do something really quite extraordinary. They've joined forces to set up their own property market.
A larger hermit crab tentatively explores the shell with its claws, assessing its suitability. As it does so, a line of crabs forms behind it in descending size.
Each crab is looking for the perfect property with the right shape, opening, and weight. Somehow, the crabs reach an agreement, and incredibly, they start to assemble in a chain. Largest at one end, smallest at the other.
The house swap taking place in a colourful squirming mass of orange claws and twitching antennae.
All lined up, they're ready to exchange, and not an estate agent in sight. The biggest crab is first to move.
As it tries its new shell for size, there's a scramble for the shell it's vacated.
So far, so good. The chain's holding together. Our little crab gets in position, ready to make his big move. His size means he's at the bottom of the chain. But just as he vacates his old shell, a newcomer arrives on the scene to try and gazump him.
The newcomer tries to evict the little crab from its shell by force.
He can't afford to be left homeless. A death sentence in this tropical heat.
One by one, the other crabs each settle into a new shell.
But fortune's on his side. After all the swapping, there's one empty shell left over. And he wastes no time settling into his spacious new home.
Up close, the little crab's eyes on stalks.
From the perfect beach hut to a treehouse hiding one of the world's smallest mammals. Our second miniature miracle lives in the giant bamboo forests of southwest China.
The ground being disturbed from below, then in time lapse, a spiky stem rising arrow straight up into the air.
Bamboo is the tallest of all our grasses, with some species capable of growing up to 40 metres. But this isn't just a big world. It's also home to some rather bad sorts. So if you're really small, how do you survive in a place like this? You hide. A tiny slit in the bamboo stem reveals the bijou home of the bamboo bat.
Inside the nest.
A colony of 25, living in a space the size of a teacup. Each bat is not much bigger than a bumblebee, but it's still a squeeze. Which is hardly surprising, when you imagine a teacup full of bumblebees.
A graphic shows a teacup brimming with bumblebees.
These microbats have evolved special adhesive pads on their thumbs, wrists and feet, which help them make the most of every corner of their secret home. But what good is that against what lurks outside?
A snake on a branch.
If it got the chance, this snake would devour the entire colony.
The snake reaches the notched entrance to the bat's home.
But that's where a miniature home with a miniature front door comes into its own. At just 6 millimeters across, no wider than a pencil, there's no way the snake's getting inside.
The bats cram together.
But what about the bats? How do they come and go through what is possibly the smallest front door in the animal kingdom?
Bats emerging and flying off into the night.
Well, they've evolved super thin, flattened skulls. And while it may still be a squash, they're able to squeeze themselves through the tiny gap. It's another miracle maneuver. Once the coast is clear, the bats go hunting for insects, like flies, beetles, and winged termites. And that's where a more well-known miracle comes into play. Bats are the only mammal that can fly, and one of the few to use echolocation to find food, sending out sound waves to detect prey in the darkness.
A bat returns to its home and squeezes itself through the tiny entrance.
And it's these miraculous skills, combined with a canny choice of home, that are the key to the bamboo bat's success in this forest of giants.
From the bats huddled together in their safe haven to clouds scudding across a blue sky.
But what if surviving means you need to protect yourself from your own kind?
Waves breaking on a shoreline. Shoals of tiny colourful fish flitting around a reef are buffeted by the surge of the sea.
On the east coast of Australia, over 100 species of shark inhabit the tropical waters of the Great Barrier Reef, including the largest shark of all. The 12-metre-long whale shark is the biggest fish in the world. Sharing the reef with this giant is one of the smallest members of the shark family, the epaulette. He's less than 1 metre long, which unfortunately makes him ideal prey for some of the other, larger sharks. So in a world of bigger, badder sharks, how does the tiny epaulette stay off the menu? Without a safe home to escape to, he keeps a low profile and waits. Twice a day, the tide goes out, which means conditions on the reef change dramatically.
The tiny shark's slender, almost eel-like body permits easy navigation in and around the intricacies of the reef.
As the water departs, so did the big sharks. The water is far too shallow for them now. But the epaulette's size means he's able to make the most of this brief moment in the life cycle of the reef. At last, he can stop worrying about being someone else's dinner and focus on finding his own.
Its body is a creamy caramel colour with black spots.
But it doesn't last long. The tide's still dropping. And soon the epaulettes left high and dry. If he's not careful, he'll barbecue in the scorching Australian sun. Even more worryingly, this fish out of water is struggling to breathe. But the miraculous epaulette has evolved an extraordinary strategy to cope with this. By slowing his breathing and heart rate and powering down his brain, he can survive on his last breath for up to an hour. When the oxygen levels get critical, another incredible survival strategy kicks in.
The shark begins to crawl on its belly.
His fins turn into prototype legs.
Twisting one way, then the other, it hauls itself across the rough coral to reach slightly deeper water.
This cunning fish breaks all the rules.
Finally, it's free to swim again.
And is the only shark that can walk himself out of danger.
An epaulette shark gliding gracefully through the water. Now, cloud rolling over a cliff.
The epaulette shark isn't the only miniature miracle to have evolved remarkable superpowers.
Dark, volcanic-like rock.
High on a remote rocky plateau in Venezuela lives the 3-centimetre-long pebble toad. Unusually for an amphibian, he can't hop. So camouflaged to his surroundings, this hopless toad creeps around, looking for insects to eat. But he's not the only hunter up here.
A hairy-bodied arachnid.
A toad-eating tarantula. Faced with the enemy, the toad employs an unexpected escape strategy. He transforms himself into a toad-like ball. Tensing all his muscles, he becomes rigid like rubber. Perfect for bouncing down the mountain out of danger.
It lands in a pool of water.
He's safe and, remarkably, completely unharmed.
Next, a creature with long pincers.
A female Arabian fat-tailed scorpion on its regular nighttime hunt for beetles. But while she's looking for food, someone's eyeing her up as a potential meal. A desert fox. Once the moon comes up, its soft light could expose her. So this scorpion has an extraordinary super sense, an early warning detection system that gives her an edge in this nocturnal world. UV-sensitive cells on her shell warn her it's an hour until moonrise, which gives her plenty of time to run and hide before it blows her cover.
The scorpion scuttles to safety in a sandy hollow.
When you're small, life's worries extend beyond just being eaten. You'd think a single raindrop might drown the tiny Brazilian pygmy gecko. Tricky when you live in a rainforest. But these geckos have evolved super hydrophobic skin. Water doesn't wet them.
A gecko falling into water.
Their skin is so water repellent that even a tumble into a puddle isn't fatal.
In slow motion, a water droplet falling beside the tiny creature sends it flailing up into the air.
These miniature marvels can literally walk on water.
A gecko licking its face, then a towering green-carpeted mountainside.
But sometimes even remarkable physical adaptations aren't enough to help you survive.
Cresting the summit reveals a vast swathe of savanna beyond.
East Africa.
A lion padding through undergrowth.
Home to some of the world's largest mammals, as well as one of its smallest. A female elephant shrew, more commonly known by her African name of Sengi. She's 300 times smaller than a lion and 8,000 times smaller than an elephant, which makes the vast savannah a very dangerous place to live. How on earth does she stay safe out here without being trampled? By living her life at top speed and with brain power far beyond her size.
Zipping across the rust-red earth,
this miniature mastermind has designed and built a hidden network of trails to get around. Even when she does encounter danger, these trails can mean the difference between life and death.
A reptilian eye.
A monitor lizard.
The Sengi being pursued by the tongue-flicking lizard.
Drawing on a mental map of her network, the clever Sengi is able to figure out the best escape route.
Its more ungainly pursuer is no match for the Sengi's speed.
Our fast-footed fugitive is built for high-speed getaways too. Like most mammals, and unlike reptiles, her legs are directly beneath her body.
The Sengi takes a sharp turn,
which makes her less stable, but much faster and more agile than the lizard. Astonishingly, this tiny tearaway, who weighs less than half a kilo, can reach speeds of nearly 18 miles an hour. For her size, she's twice as fast as a cheetah.
The lumbering lizard stops to survey its surroundings. Twitching its elongated snout, the Sengi has found safety behind a rock,
which definitely qualifies her as one of our miniature miracles of nature.
Having saved itself from becoming a monitor lizard's meal, the Sengi rewards itself with a snack and devours a winged insect.
Life in the fast lane requires a lot of fuel. But while the Sengi's secret network allows her to find food efficiently and discreetly, not everyone has it so easy.
A solitary mammal with a smaller mammal following in its wake, then a large herd of animals negotiating rocky terrain.
We've all heard of the world's great animal migrations. Like the massive herds of caribou, who trek 1,500 miles through the Arctic wilderness every year to find food. And the 5 million snow geese, who fly en masse to northern Canada, looking for a summer feast fit to feed a family. But these are big animals, travelling in gigantic groups. There's another, much less known, but perhaps even more impressive annual migration. And this one isn't migration on a miniature scale. This is a miniature miracle on a mammoth migration. Meet the Rufous Hummingbird.
Hovering in mid-air.
This tiny bird weighs less than a 20 pence piece. And yet every spring, she flies over 4,000 miles from Mexico to Alaska. On her own. Her destination, Tongass, part of the largest temperate rainforest in the world. In spring, when the forest wakes up, it offers the promise of a seasonal banquet.
The bird has an orangey-red throat patch.
Rufous hummingbirds spend the winter in the tropics, where competition for food is fierce. Here, they get the place to themselves. They're the only hummingbird to make this epic annual migration to Alaska. But when they get here, they can't afford to rest. Hummingbirds can flap their wings an unbelievable 50 times a second. Blink, and you can miss it. Great for hovering, but like any racy sports car, it's heavy on fuel. One thing this female doesn't have much of. After the long trip here, she's running on empty.
The bird in profile.
If she doesn't eat soon, she might not last the day. And if it wasn't enough that this mini marathon flyer has flown all the way from Mexico, it looks like she's arrived too early. The flowers she's hoping to drink nectar from haven't opened yet.
Sunlight shining through straw-like vegetation.
But being a mini miracle, our little heroine doesn't get in a flap, for she has brains as well as stamina.
The little bird's drawn to a distant sound in the forest.
The distinctive tapping of someone else hard at work.
A larger bird's busy hammering its beak against a tree.
A red-breasted sapsucker is busy drilling holes in the trees to release the sweet syrup running inside. Tree sap is quite similar to flower nectar, as they both contain sugar and protein. It's exactly what the hungry hummingbird needs. But is she brave enough to steal from a bird 2.5 times her size? The sapsucker moves on to a neighbouring tree to continue drilling. He'll be back to this one later, once the sap is running freely.
A falling droplet explodes on a flower head. With the sapsucker occupied on the other tree, the hummingbird wastes no time.
The cunning hummingbird spots an opportunity and makes her move. Her tongue darts in and out around 13 times a second. If she's going to replenish her energy levels, she'll need to eat like this every 20 minutes.
The sapsucker's dark eye, surrounded by vivid red plumage.
The hummingbird will rely on this sneaky strategy to survive, stealing food from right under the sapsucker's nose until the forest flowers bloom in a few weeks' time.
The sapsucker resumes its drilling.
Then finally, she'll be able to enjoy the benefits of her long-distance journey.
A vast, fertile plain, punctuated with palm trees.
But what if travel isn't an option, and the only food available in your world is something you can't digest? That's the situation our next miniature hero finds itself in. The Argentinian Pampas covers over 150,000 square miles of grassland.
An ant climbing a blade of grass.
Every day, the industrious grass-cutter ant toils in the fields, harvesting a crop it can't actually stomach.
Having chewed right through a stem, an ant falls, clinging to the felled top of it.
A single colony can contain millions of ants, of many different shapes and sizes. Those with the biggest jaws do all the cutting, climbing high into the canopy to carry out their work. Down on the ground, the smaller ones are the porters. Incredibly, each 1.5 centimetre ant can carry 50 times its own body weight in grass, which is like a human carrying a medium-sized van on its back. Believe it or not, the ant's superhuman strength actually comes from their small size. They have thicker muscles relative to the size of their body than larger animals, which means they can produce more force. But being able to lift the equivalent of a van is all very well, if you can balance it. Not to mention the freeloaders trying to shirk duties.
An army of ants, each carrying a long grass stem upright like a caber.
The ants work tirelessly, ferrying grass back to their nest.
Using a well-worn route across the dry brown earth.
Each year, a single colony will harvest over 0.5 ton of grass cuttings. But what for, when they don't even eat grass? What on earth are they doing with their indigestible crop? And what are they actually eating? The answer lies deep underground, where the ants have built their very own food factory. Down here, they're feeding their harvest to a very special fungus. And this fungus is found nowhere else on Earth. When the ants feed it grass, it grows, producing edible fungus gardens. Enough to feed an entire colony of up to 5 million ants. These ants have been producing food like this for millions of years, way before humans ever dreamt of even cultivating their own food.
The ants toiling on their fungus farm.
But there's a twist to this story. The ants' special fungus is also dangerous to them. It produces carbon dioxide, which when trapped underground could suffocate the entire colony. So the ants have come up with an astonishing solution. They've built giant ventilation units that remove the potentially deadly carbon dioxide and draw in fresh air for the busy factory workers below. These humble heroes have not only learned how to produce their own food, but also how to remove dangerous waste from their environment. two highly sophisticated behaviours of a civilised society. For a creature so small, it really is a miniature miracle on an industrial scale.
From a sandy cluster of ventilation mounds created by the ants, to speeded up footage of clouds rolling over coastal mountaintops.
Finding ingenious ways to adapt to their environment is something our miniature miracles do best. The tropical forests of Southeast Asia.
A tangerine sky at dusk.
As night falls, some mini monkeys are starting to stir.
A small blurry creature with a long tail jumps from one shoot to another.
12 centimetre tall tarsiers.
Its huge orange eyes up close.
The ancestors of these primates were daytime hunters, but there was so much competition for food, they were forced into the shadows, where they could have disappeared. But they didn't surrender. They evolved huge gremlin-like eyes, the largest of any mammal relative to their body size, which helped them see in the faintest light.
In silhouette, a winged insect settles on a large fan-like leaf and a tarsier pounces on it. Another watches, its big ears twitching as it devours its prey.
And enormous ears that seem to have a life of their own, but give them ultrasonic hearing. These two extraordinary super senses opened up the night, allowing tarsiers to home in on almost anything that moves.
A tarsier leaping on a locust, then a cicada in silhouette.
Tarsiers are the only exclusively carnivorous primate. They eat mostly flying insects, including moths, locusts, beetles, and cicadas. Not the easiest of prey. Once they've got dinner in their sights, they've got just milliseconds to ambush and catch it. But with a genuine spring in their step, these miniature assassins have no problem taking a leap in the dark. You see, they've also got enormously long legs, which they use to jump 40 times their own body length. And they're armed with long, slender fingers, ideal for snatching prey.
A tarsier hunting and eating.
It's as if these pocket-sized hunters always belong to the rainforest night.
A tarsier dropping down between two others on a twig. Striated sands cast in a dark orange hue beneath a peach sky.
Perhaps the ultimate survivor in our list of miniature miracles is a plant that lives in one of the harshest places on Earth.
Shadows passing over the contours of desert dunes.
The vast Sahara Desert. Life here has far more to worry about than just finding food. Where on earth do you find water? Lots of plants can tolerate a few hours or days without water. Think about all the houseplants that get neglected yet survive. But most will die if they're subjected to prolonged drought.
A sandstorm.
This small, dried-out ball of twigs may have been dead for 100 years. And yet, despite appearances, all is not lost. Because this plant is the resurrection plant.
Leaving a trail of faint indents, it bounces across the sand.
Blown by the wind, it's in desperate need of a drink. But around here, rain only falls once or twice a year. And in the world's biggest desert, you have to be very lucky to find it.
It lands in a puddle.
So will this puddle be enough to raise it from the dead?
Slowly, its dry, dead-looking branches, which curl inwards, begin to unfurl.
Gradually, lifeless limbs lap up the precious water. Its resurrection has begun.
Dark thunder clouds hang over the desert.
Now it's come back to life, it must snatch this opportunity to reproduce.
The sun dimmed by a veil of cloud.
But this special plant needs yet another miracle.
Thicker cloud blots out the sun.
Rain.
The resurrection plant's drenched in a downpour.
The trigger for new life. A chance for its seeds to germinate.
Water droplets knocking seeds out of their pods. The sun breaking through the cloud. Then a tiny green shoot sprouting from the sand.
In just a few hours, new shoots emerge.
Time-lapse footage shows the shoots' rapid growth, soon becoming small plants with downy leaves.
And within weeks, these offspring of the original plant flower, producing seeds of their own. Sadly, it's not long before the burning African sun kills them. But the seeds within their withered branches live on, ready for when they find rain, even if it's a century from now.
Thunderheads and billowing dark clouds rolling across the sky.
In southern India, rain is a more predictable event. Monsoon clouds are building.
Rainwater dripping off hanging vegetation in a forest.
This annual phenomenon triggers the breeding season for our next miniature miracle. Traditionally, male frogs rely on their croak to attract the opposite sex. But unfortunately, their chorus is falling on deaf ears. They're struggling to be heard over the noise of all this water. So these tiny frogs, each one no bigger than a paperclip, have claimed a rock for their castle. And now they're using a different technique to impress the opposite sex. These mini monarchs wave.
By extending a rear leg.
The more testosterone they have, the more waving they do.
A frog splays its webbed toes as it stretches out its leg.
All of which helps these frog princes attract a frog princess.
Two frogs mating.
The tiny frog's distinctive courtship behaviour has earned them their name. These are foot-flagging frogs. Yet another stroke of genius from a small animal facing a big problem.
An emerald green forest canopy.
But our little frog's romantic woes are nothing compared to those of our next miniature miracle. He's embarking on possibly the most dangerous journey of his life, and all for the sake of trying to find a partner. This is the Australian peacock jumping spider, a miracle mover who can't afford to put a foot wrong. He's only the size of a grain of rice. Yes, he's that small. Which in a place like this means almost anything could be dangerous.
A peacock spider jumps from a snail onto a leaf.
But in fact, the biggest threat of all is the female he's after. The silken road to finding her is littered with the remains of unsuccessful suitors. A stark warning that if he doesn't get this right, it could be his last day on the planet.
A female with plain markings surprises the colourful male.
She ambushes him from behind. Now, what can he do to win her over?
The male raises first one leg, then another in the air.
Dance. Dance for his life. He unfurls his striking fan and begins his routine.
The female watches for a moment, then springs at him.
Its elaborate shape and vibrant colours resemble a peacock's tail.
The male persists with his seductive moves.
But even his party outfit and his best moves aren't impressing her. Time to step it up a level.
The male has to constantly interrupt his performance to dodge the female's lunges at him.
As is so often the case in the mating game, it's not the males, but the females who call the shots. The more unique the dance, the more likely she is to accept his advances. This mating ritual can go on for up to 50 minutes. But at last his performance is rewarded, and they mate.
The male's twitching, feathery-edged fan.
He's done his bit and satisfied her needs. But now her need is over. So she kills him anyway. After all, his body will be the perfect nourishment for their eggs.
Coastal blue waters.
Our next mini-marvel wasn't blessed with a vibrant party outfit, or even disco dance moves. And yet somehow, he's still got to attract the ladies.
A coral reef teeming with marine life.
The world's oceans are filled with brilliant colours, all designed to make their wearers conspicuous. But the tiny Japanese pufferfish is so dull, he almost fades into the background. If he's going to have any success with the opposite sex, he needs to perform a miracle that defies belief.
A billowing cloud of silt, the small pufferfish is using its fins to plough a furrow on the seabed.
He is nature's finest artist.
He moves forward a little and digs some more, then stops and turns, seemingly to examine the results of his endeavours.
With a design of mathematical precision in his head, and only fins for tools, he starts to plough the sand. He's sculpting it into geometric shapes.
He uses the fin on his underside to score the silt, then lightly flattens out a ridge with his tail fin.
This dedicated artist works 24 hours a day for an entire week. There's no time for rest, or the current will destroy his creation.
He begins to collect small shells in his mouth and places them on the ridges he's formed, which are spread out like a fan.
He adds shells for decoration.
After this, he again appears to stop to admire his handiwork.
Before a final tidy up. At last, his vision is complete.
The little fish has created a circular sand sculpture consisting of ridges at its center that form a soft rippling pattern. Around this are two rings of geometric furrows, the whole resembling the head of a sunflower.
Using only what was available to him, this 12-centimetre fish has created a masterpiece 2 metres across.
The sculptor at the centre of his creation, so perfect in form that it looks as if it's been stamped on the seabed.
Nowhere else in nature does an animal construct something as complex and perfect as this. If this doesn't get him noticed, nothing will. A female swollen with eggs and ready to partner up is tempted over to have a look.
He darts back and forth while she appraises his work.
He entices her into the center to get the best possible view. Impressed, she retreats, leaving him to make one alteration.
The ridges at the center have gone.
By the next morning, the center of the sculpture has been flattened, and all the soft sand is in the middle. He's created the perfect nest.
The female joins him.
Right on cue, she arrives.
Settling together at the center, they conjoin for a quivering moment.
The male holds her cheek and fertilizes her eggs as she releases them.
Kicking up a cloud of silt.
A quick flick of his fin and he buries them in the sand.
Biting his mate's cheek again, they share another fleeting union before the female leaves, swimming away across the seabed.
Eggs laid, she departs, while he stays behind to fan them until they hatch, his extraordinary work of art fading away around him.
His ploughing forms a ribbon of dislodged silt, which then settles in his wake. Sunlight penetrating the water.
The Japanese pufferfish isn't the only miraculous mini creature beneath the waves. We can't see them with the naked eye, but our seas are literally brimming with hidden heroes. Plankton.
A clear, circular organism with hairs round its rim.
Thousands of different types and different species you'd need a microscope to see.
A myriad of amorphous organisms.
Anything that drifts in the current is classified as plankton. The smallest are the plant-like phytoplankton, followed by the more animal-like zooplankton. Individually, they're not that exciting. But believe me, collectively, these critters are some of the most important species on our planet. They're the bedrock of the ocean food web. breakfast, lunch and dinner for the krill, who get eaten by the fish. Then in come the diving birds, agile sea lions, dolphins, sharks, and all the way up to the biggest mammals on Earth, whales.
A breaching whale disturbs seabirds floating on the surface before swimming away through the deep blue sea. Green pearls.
But that's not all. The tiny phytoplankton perform an even greater miracle still. Just like terrestrial plants, they use light from the sun to photosynthesize and produce energy for themselves. One of the byproducts of that process is oxygen, a gas required by almost all life on Earth. There are so many phytoplankton in our oceans that they literally produce over half of all the oxygen we breathe. Which is surely the biggest and most important miracle of all our miniature heroes. Without plankton, it's thought that much of life on Earth would disappear.
A low sun casting a blade of golden light across the ocean.
So there you have it. We've seen a walking fish, a dancing spider, and even a plant that can raise itself from the dead. A little known and often unseen world of miraculous beings. They've adapted, developed extraordinary skills, and pulled off some astounding feats just to survive. And finally, consider this. 90% of all our planet's creatures are no bigger than a human fingertip. Without us knowing it, these tiny superstars dominate our world. And we can't afford to overlook a single one of them.